The Big Wedding Planning Podcast.
Just two wedding planners tearing it up. Listen, learn.
Hello and welcome to the Big Wedding Planning Podcast, a show for anyone involved in planning a wedding. We want you to learn something valuable and be entertained at the same time. My name is Michelle Martinez.
And I'm Christine Matthews. Thank you for listening.
Oh, thank you so much.
Welcome.
Hang on. Wait a minute. I have somebody here. Hold on. Alexa, tell me a joke.
The pet store had a bird contest. No purchase necessary.
I don't get it.
Did
you get it?
I don't get it. No purchase?
No, I really don't. Hold on.
Alexa, explain
Alexa,
the joke.
Alexa, tell me another joke.
Why did the tomato blush? Because he saw the salad dressing.
Okay, no, I get okay. That one. Yeah. All right. Yeah, all right.
Today's episode is about funny wedding planning stories. Michelle and I were like racking our brain this week for... of all the years we've done weddings, like what funny shit has happened. And I actually texted my best friends and my mother-in-law, who I always tell about weddings, because I feel like once a wedding is over and once I've like decompressed and like told people about it, like, you're not going to believe this shit, or this is what went down, or this is the first time this has happened. And I tell the story in an almost like, you know, over the top kind of way. I don't remember it after that.
I know.
So I was texting people like, what funny stories have I told you? And my best friend Lauren and my mother-in-law both wrote back and they were like, they're not so much funny as they are really horrifying or really fucked up. And I was like, what stories have I told you that were that? I mean, when I'm thinking through all my clients, usually it's just like the good stuff that I remember. I don't remember like, oh, when that happened, it was the worst.
I know. And I try not to just dwell on the bad stories because that's how our mind remembers. I feel like the human mind like remembers all the negative stuff easier. But yeah.
And we've both been lucky. I think like in general, our clients are wonderful and we have good relationships with them. And the weddings all went off without a hitch. I mean, there was never like, I don't have any stories where like the tent blew over or the electricity went out or, you know, the groom fainted because he had too much to drink. And I talk to wedding planners who do have those stories, and those would be like, it might take like a year or two for that to be funny. Because
yeah.
Right afterwards, you'd be like, it's not funny. It was actually the worst moment of my life. But later you can laugh about it. But we definitely have funny stories, but it's not like, every episode is a sitcom, or every wedding is a sitcom, you know?
Yeah. I know. Although you could definitely make a sitcom.
Yes, we'd have to like really circle all of our best tales.
Yeah, maybe that's our next project in the future. We become writers for we'll do a show.
You've been told that you should write a book, right? I'm told all the time I should write a book about wedding planning.
All the time.
But it feels almost like it would be 80% truth and 20% fiction, because I would have to add like embellishments and make things, you know, over exaggerate things.
Yeah, because it would be the same story over and over again in many cases.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
That process that people go through, and that it goes, you know, like all process, there's a beginning and then there's like a peak and then there's a lull and then there's anger and then there's excitement and then there's crying and then there's... like
yeah, and that, we have a lot of the same conversations with brides and grooms, I think, leading up to the wedding day or leading up to walking down the aisle or whatever. So when I was brainstorming, like trying to collect all my funny stories, I remembered a lot of like actually sort of sad stories or like profound or emotional stories. So I texted Michelle, like, we're gonna have to do a whole separate episode about these other like sentimental, you know, kind of wonderful moments that surprised us in weddings. So we will do that. But today's is going to be the funny stuff.
We're going to keep on the funny stuff.
Right. But we're not going to name names, and it's not in, you know, a mean spirit. When I was thinking about it, I was thinking like, which weddings did somebody get really drunk? Which weddings did somebody punch somebody else? Were there ever fights? Did anybody like not show up at the altar or, you know, show up late? Which I personally have not had that one, but I've definitely had drunk and I've had screaming guests and wedding party fights and things like that. Have you ever had a bride or groom ever have like serious cold feet right at the end?
Never.
Like show up late or anything?
Never.
I was a guest once at one of my very close friends' weddings, and he was the groom, and he was waiting at the altar for the bride to walk in with her mom. And it was an outdoor wedding, so they had kind of a trek to like get to the ceremony area, but he was at the altar. And I would say we probably sat there while he was at the altar for a good 7 to 8 minutes, which of course felt like
forever.
An hour. Yeah. And he was kind of looking around, and after a couple minutes, he sort of made a joke and was like, oh, I wonder if she's coming, like something. And everybody sort of uncomfortably laughed. But then 3 minutes later, she still wasn't there. And we were like, oh my God, we're at our first wedding where somebody's not going to
You know, people up. Were like, disappointed when she showed, like, damn, I thought this was going to be a good story.
I mean, listen, in a year they got divorced. They were my first friends to get married and divorced. They were very young. They were college sweethearts. So it's like, it was sort of a preview of what was to come. And she was having cold feet. She was being talked into walking down the aisle. What I know now, she wasn't like putting on her eyelashes. I mean, it was like, holy shit, I don't want to do this.
Oh my
gosh.
As
a wedding planner, I've never had that. But as a friend and a guest, I have sat there and really sweated like, oh shit, this is not going well. After that, it was a really fun wedding.
To anybody listening, if you have any awesome stories like this, bad or good or funny or crazy, whatever, like of weddings you've been to or friends or, you know, whatever it is, like email us or tweet us because we would love to hear it and then potentially like read it on the show and dissect it.
And as wedding planners, we can be like, what? Yeah. That's crazy.
I love it.
That's not that crazy. It could have been done differently, but
mm-hmm.
yeah,
mm-hmm.
totally like... We'll delve into it.
All right.
So when I was thinking about all my funny stories, a lot of them were not stories so much, just like the whole wedding was kind of funny. And several of them, more than is proportional for how many weddings I've had, were Filipino weddings.
Oh.
When it came to like, yeah, like Filipino weddings are just, they have a certain energy. It's weddings are really, really important in that culture. And they're really big and families are really involved. So it lends itself already to some like moments of chaos and humor. And I mean, I've done only three, but in all the three cases, the bride and groom made sure to tell me, like, just so you know, we put on our invitations at the wedding starting at 3, but we plan on it starting at 4.
Mm-hmm.
Our families are going to be on Filipino time. This shit is not going to go down without a lot of people being like, where's Aunt Martha? Where's Uncle whoever? Like it just, and they were totally right. And it always did feel like just herding cats the whole time. I think because it's so family oriented that the family is there for the family get together in some cases more than like, oh, there's a wedding.
Mm-hmm.
We also have to do this wedding thing. And they also have like Hispanic cultures, right? They have like padrinos.
Yes.
And a lot of aunts and uncles and people who have sponsored the wedding are involved with the actual ceremony. And the ceremony is Catholic. So that alone is like a lot of details for the actual ceremony rehearsal and stuff.
Yeah. And
did one.
We also have what we call, at least in my family, Mexican time. So there's certain uncles that we tell him the party starts at 1 and then he'll actually get there at 4. So then we know like he'll be there at 4. And so we lie to him.
Right.
I have one of those. Actually, two of those in my family.
See, my family is more like everyone's right on time or early. And if somebody is a little bit late, then everyone shames them for the rest of the party. So you don't want to be late. You don't want to be the last one because then it's like a scarlet L you have to wear for the rest of the party. But I did one beautiful Filipino wedding. Both the bride and the groom were Filipino. So it was just a lot of guests, and it was a very, very serious Catholic ceremony. And I knew the floral order. So I knew like how many corsages and boutonnieres I was going to have to deal with, which wedding planners, we kind of do that right before the ceremony. But I didn't know that a second corsage order had been placed, because that's just what they do in their family. Mm-hmm. And I mean, I had maybe 10 minutes as all of the wedding party and the padrinos and everybody was arriving, literally at the cathedral. I'm with all these flowers to pin people as they get there. There were 40 corsages.
Whoa.
40 orchid corsages for me to pin. It was like every woman between the age of 30 and 70 got an orchid, because they had something to do with walking in the processional or handing the lasso or whatever. And I remember sitting there in the little tiny bathroom waiting room you get at an old cathedral like this with all these flowers, as just woman after woman was lined up. It was like unending.
Oh.
And I thought at the moment, like, this is bananas. And I'm pinning 40.
Did you prick your finger?
I probably did. They all had beaded, you know, like long sleeve beaded, beautiful gowns as well, which comes into play for one of my.
It is so hard to put a corsage on a woman, by the way. It is so frustrating. You have to, I mean, it's better to go through the bra strap.
It's very intimate. Yes. Especially with the beaded, you have to, my hands are cold.
Yeah.
And I'm like feeling these women up. I'm like reaching inside their bra to get the back of the pin for this heavy. Yeah. And it's, nobody really cares, but it's like, okay, sorry, my hands are, oh, there it is. Okay. And we're good. Thank you so much. Fill you up later.
Fill you up later. That's what I'm here for. Yeah, because if you just pin it 9 times out of 10, when you just pin it to the dress, the corsage is too heavy and sags and like pulls the dress away from her. Better to pin into the bra strap, or better yet, I mean, I always recommend wrist corsage or a little nosegay just to hold during the ceremony. You know, like,
yeah. The pinned corsages do come off after an hour.
I mean, I've had the magnetic ones, but then that's even a bigger pain in the butt for women, because then you can't, sometimes it won't go through, you know, if you try to do it with the bra strap, like it won't hold together.
So let's just go one by one.
Let's go one by one.
Your list. There was a horror.
All right. So Jewish wedding. This was so many years ago. Honestly, I think.
I love horrors.
I love horror dances too.
I love them.
But they always kind of scare me. I'm always a little bit worried because, you know, so if you've ever.
Liability.
Those listening, if you've ever been to a Jewish wedding, there's this fun, awesome part, the horror dance. And I, you know, I was looking up online to see what the exact tradition is and why. And it really, like, there's like, you know, some people think it might have been named after a dancer and choreographer guy whose name is not Hora. Some people think it was a symbol of the reconstruction of the country. What does it say? By the socialistic agricultural Zionist movement. And then depending on, you know, if the people are from Turkey or from, like, it could mean a few different things, Bulgaria. But the bottom line is, us Americans, here, the weddings that I've planned that are Jewish, we have a hora dance. And so I always make sure that whatever venue I'm at, I try very hard to get 2 chairs with arms on them, because if they do not have arms, I'm even more nervous.
Yeah,
so essentially,
they're like holding on to the seat.
Yeah, this dance, this song starts. So it starts out slow, and if it's by a band, it's awesome, because they just, like,
everybody knows
it's coming. They circle. Yeah. And so eventually the bride and groom are lifted up, sitting in these chairs, lifted up high. And then I hand them usually like a white napkin, and like they're like reaching, each trying to hold on to one napkin together. And like people are dancing with them, you know, they're going gyrating up and down in the chairs, and the music's playing, and people are dancing and laughing. And it's like, it's so fun, right? And in this case, in this wedding, they had a live band. And so oftentimes when it's a live band, that song can last forever. Like they'll just keep going and going because mm-hmm. the crowd loves it. They love it. So it was a young couple, so sweet. Oh my gosh, they were such a sweet couple. I don't know exactly how this happened. It reminds me a little bit of Nipplegate, except it was not nipple. Her dress flies up like over her head.
Shut up.
No. And so there you go. She is flashing the whole wedding. Like underwear, no, you know, no. She had underwear. I mean, it was not like she had on some. She had underwear on.
Like regular underwear.
Like, yeah. And it didn't just happen for a second. I mean, like, it was happening. And so the people underneath who are holding the chairs, they don't realize this is happening. She's freaking out. Her groom is trying to, like, reach her to help her, but he can't. He's screaming. She's screaming. Nobody can hear them.
Everyone's like, look, they're screaming. They're having so much fun.
Well, I mean, they're just, the music's so loud. The people are so loud. So I think the band caught wind, but they didn't want to like stop the music because that would have been even worse. And so I'm like trying to make my way through the crowd, like trying to get her or help her in some way. And then I think her maid of honor got to her first and they were like, she's like, pull her down, pull her down. And, you know, she got off the chair and, you know, we whisked her away. She was really upset, Christy.
She was, like,
I thought, like, this will be like a laugh off. She totally. Was mortified. I mean, she was so upset. And so we whisked her out, me and the maid of honor. The music kept going. You know, the groom came down. People grabbed him. He couldn't even walk away. Like, they're all partying. And she was so upset. She was crying. Like, we went
How
into
do you
the bathroom.
Talk to her after that?
Well, we calmed her down. Her, you know, and I just, you know, kind of like said, like, listen, I know this seems horrible right now, but in a couple of years, this is going to be something that you're telling, like, people and laughing and maybe even telling your kids or your daughter on her wedding day. Like, it's actually not that bad. These people love you. Like, things happen. This is, you know, and she was fine. And the rest of the night was fine. But yeah, she flashed everybody during the horror. Oh, that's horror.
That's bad.
Yeah.
Okay. I texted you some, but I have more coming to me. And you know hip hop songs more than I do, right?
Oh, you're
a little more into that. What's the one that's always played at weddings? It's like, well, it's like California love.
Tupac, California. Okay, yeah.
Hello. So I did a wedding in San Francisco at a really fancy venue, and it was a white couple. All the guests were white, which is normal. Weddings are fairly segregated, and you know?
Yeah. Yeah.
And the only black person was the DJ. And he's going off the list they'd figured out, whatever. He's a professional wedding DJ. He sees this shit all the time. But that song came on sort of later in the night. And by the time the groomsmen have, like, loosened their bow ties and, like, everyone's getting really...
Jackets are off. Shirts are untucked. They're loaded like cannons.
They're totally drunk. And this was a couple in their early 30s. So, like, a very young professional crowd, kind of... waspy, bougie, high income level. And they all start dancing to this song. I'm standing next to the DJ, and they know all the words. They're singing so loud you can't even really hear the music. But they're all sort of like dancing in their own version of how a club would dance to this song.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
But it's a bunch of like kind of stuffy white people.
Maybe not so much rhythm.
But, you know, like throwing up their hand, like throwing up signs.
Oh.
And like low. And I look at the DJ and I don't say anything. And he looks at me and I'm, what am I supposed to say? Like, this is a wedding. We're all on the same team here. And he just takes off his headphones and he looks at me and he mouths, white people. And I was like, yep.
You're all, I mean, as one of those white people, yep. I totally agree. I think that I really, like, honestly, if I could take a little video and make a montage of every wedding around 10 o'clock at night, that's the funniest part, is all of these people that are left that are dancing and they're hammered And I don't know about you, but when I'm drinking, I really am the best dancer.
Totally.
That exists on this planet. And I, you know, I close my eyes. I feel it, you know. And so I'm watching these people as a sober person.
Yeah, and with a clipboard.
With a clipboard, laughing my ass off, loving it. And they're like, come on, Michelle, come on and dance. I'm like, I can't. Yes. Sometimes I do. Sometimes I do, though. Sometimes I do.
Sometimes I do, too.
But it's great.
I mean, think about it. In your, I don't know, adulthood, late 20s, 30s, once you're like a real adult, how often do you go to a dance club? Most of us never dance, really, in front of other people unless we're at a wedding. So I'm all about like letting your hair down, looking ridiculous, and making the DJ uncomfortable.
It's important. I mean, we did that on Thanksgiving. We were like, we had friends over because we're away from family, and we were up till 11 o'clock, even the kids, and we all had music on, and we were just grooving. It was kind of like a wedding. We had a few cocktails, wine. Oh, we had lots of stuff. We were all dancing. My kids were everybody was dancing. And I was like, all right, Snoop Dogg's going on. I don't even care. Don't listen to the words, kids. Here we go.
Have you ever found anyone having sex at a wedding?
No. Have
I
you?
Found someone. I did. I found a couple. They were guests. And I walked in on them in San Francisco. So it's this old house. This old mansion you rent for weddings, and it has a bunch of old bedrooms upstairs that are pretty much empty. And the bride and groom can use the upstairs rooms to get ready in, but you know, they're really old rooms. They don't have like running water, or you can't use the bathrooms. So once the wedding gets started, there's no reason to be upstairs. And the bride had left her flats upstairs where she got ready. So I didn't know which room, and I go upstairs. The people are dancing. The reception is in full swing. And I open one door and turn on the light. Nothing. And I open the second door, find the light, turn it on, see a man on top of a woman on the floor because there's no furniture in these. And I just went, oh, my God. And I turned out the lights. And then I shut the door. And then I heard laughing. And that was it. But later when I told the groom, because this couple was really cool and so funny, and I was like, hey, this is the first wedding I've done where I've walked in on guests having sex. And he was like, what? That is awesome. Who was it? And I was like, I don't know. I would only recognize him from behind. Like, I don't know. And I kind of knew who it was, but I didn't point him out. But the groom emailed me like 2 weeks later and was like, we have to know. Who was it? Look on my Facebook page. Look for friends. This will never end if I know who it was.
Did they ever find out?
I think I did. This was several years ago. Kind of point him out like, okay, it's the guy in the back of that picture. Once it was on the face, once they put the pictures on Facebook.
Were they a couple or was it just a hookup at the wedding?
I think they were a couple, but I did not get the impression they were a long time couple. It was really funny.
That's hilarious.
This groom also had a thing or like a history for taking pictures of, you know, landmarks or beautiful scenery, but standing in front of that with his pants down. So his butt was in whatever picture he took. And that was like his thing. He had done it for a long time. If they travel, he would like pull his pants down in front of Mount Rushmore. And you would take the picture of Mount Rushmore and his butt would be in it. So before the ceremony started, on the lawn, it's beautiful. You can see the bay. He said, I need you to take a picture. And I was like, oh, you know, the photographer's here. He's like, no, I need you to take a picture. I'm going to take my pants off.
Oh,
he's in his tux. Oh, and no. I was like, oh my God, I totally thought he was kidding. But he stood up on the lawn where the ceremony was. And he took his pants off, and I took a picture, and then sent it to him, and that was, like, his thing.
Good times. Good times.
So that was unique.
We're very intimately acquainted with our clients.
True.
People at the wedding, yes. So I was looking at, I don't know if this is funny. I mean, it was interesting. It's actually... someone we know in common, Christy. I had a bride once who it was in Sonoma, and it was pre-ceremony, and she's getting dressed because they were also going to do a reveal before the ceremony. So he was going to see her, photographer was going to capture it, take a few photos, and then start ceremony. So she's getting into her very expensive, beautiful gown. And as they're zipping her up, the zipper splits. You know how, like, when you zip, sometimes you zip and the bottom splits and the top splits, and then you can't, like, it doesn't zip. And so, and this happened, like, halfway up the back. Like, you couldn't I mean, it wasn't just a little gap. It was, like, big. And so the dress wouldn't zip. And so, luckily, I mean, guests hadn't arrived yet, but they were going to be arriving really, really soon. And so they called me over to the, she was staying in a room. It was at a hotel. And they're like, you know, can you help us? And so I go into my emergency kit because I had dental floss. That was my fix, right? Like the dental floss on the needle, like that's like a little quick fix to sewing something up strong. But this dress, like we could not sew her into this. Like we couldn't do it. No.
Yeah.
And so.
Safety pin
it? No, because it would have looked like crap. You know, like it was, her hair was up, like you could see.
Yeah.
So we found a seamstress in Sonoma. And, like, called the seamstress, and she came to the property.
Holy cow.
And she was able to sew her into the dress. So then, you know, that kind of, she was like, you know, she took it well. The bride was like, at first she was like, oh my God, you know, but I was like, here, have some champagne. Like, it's all good. She had her girls around her. And so the seamstress sewed her into the dress. Now, our timeline, luckily we had built that buffer of like taking those pre-ceremony photos, because if she would have been getting dressed, you know,
right before
the ceremony, as the guests were arriving, we would have been a really late ceremony. And the ceremony did start about 10 minutes late, but that's not bad. Like mm-hmm. It wasn't too bad. And so great night. She didn't let it get her down. Great day, beautiful wedding, unbelievable. And so the next day I was like, hey, you know, like, so how did you get that dress off? And she's like, it was kind of fun. You know, it's kind of fun. Like he had to take scissors and cut a little bit, but then he just like ripped it. He just like ripped it open. I'm like, all right.
That's a happy ending.
Yeah. That's a good story to tell. Maybe not your children someday, but you know.
I've had a couple dress issues, but it never went past like me coming in and trying to work on the zipper. You know, like we could figure it out.
Yeah.
But I have had wardrobe issues with groomsmen far more often than wardrobe issues with the bride or any bridesmaids. And I did one wedding in Napa where we're all staying at the same property and all of the groomsmen were flying in from out of state. And three out of five of the groomsmen had these ridiculous issues. One called me the day before the rehearsal started and was like, hi, my name's Matt. I got the number from, you know, whoever. And I need your help because I forgot my pants, my groomsmen pants.
Uh-oh.
I forgot them in Boston.
Uh-oh.
And I was staying at the hotel that night. I was already there, and he had arranged to, like, overnight FedEx them to the hotel, but it was going to be to me, and it would arrive the morning of the wedding.
Oh.
And it ended up being fine because those pants fit him once he got them. But still, I was like, how do you pack for a wedding and forget
your pants?
The pants you have to wear at the wedding. And I thought that was it. Okay, crisis averted. Groomsmen are good to go. And then a second groomsman shows up at the ceremony with his pants, which had been from like Al's somewhere, you know, some national chain that were a good 5 to 6 inches too long.
Oh, no.
Like he hadn't actually tried them on once he got them because you have to hem those.
Yes.
So that was full on safety pin for me. Like he had 6 safety pins around both because I didn't even have time to quickly hem it myself.
Right.
Which I would have, like, we're ready with the sewing kit. So that was groomsman number 2. And then the third guy shows up and he's holding a shoebox. The ceremony's starting in a half an hour. And he's like, we have a problem. Is there like a Walmart close by or a Payless? And I was like, no, we're in Napa. They don't have Walmarts here. Like, yeah. Not anywhere nearby. And also the ceremony's starting in 30 minutes. So what's happening? He's like, I bought these shoes a couple days ago, but when I was buying them in the store, I only tried one on. And then I opened the box today and they're 2 left feet.
Oh, no.
Which I always tell my husband when he goes shoe shopping, because he'll do the same thing. He'll only try on one. I'm like, can you try on both, please? This is, what are you doing? And so he's standing there with these brand new black, shiny shoes to wear. And they're 2 left feet. And I go, sorry.
Can't really help you there, buddy.
Put them on. And, you know, after the ceremony and the photos, you can put your sneakers on to dance because that's going to be uncomfortable. But
that is so funny. You have to have shoes on.
Yeah, it was like, what is wrong with you guys? You are adult men with jobs, and we got 3 out of 5 that can't get their shit together. That was awesome.
That is pretty awesome. So I have one. This is another one from many years ago. It was a wedding in California in the East Bay. There is a hotel in the East Bay called the Lafayette Park Hotel and Spa. And I used to work there many years ago. It's a really adorable boutique hotel, and a lot of, couples getting married will stay there on the wedding night and the night before, and then like get ready there and then take photos in the lobby because there's like the cascading stairs and it's pretty. And they have beautiful outdoor areas and landscaping and whatnot. And so it's right off of Highway 24. And so it's kind of like a wedding hub, and they do a lot of weddings there. So we had had the rehearsal the night before. The ceremony was at a church in Orinda. And so the wedding day, I had arranged for a limo to pick up the bridesmaids. A Rolls Royce was picking up the bride with her, I think her mom was with her, or her dad. Actually, probably it was her dad. And then all the bridesmaids, including the maid of honor, were going in the limo. So had the limo pick them up at a certain time to transport them to the church. Bride was already on her way. I was at the church. And so then I get this phone call, and it's the maid of honor. And she's like, Michelle, hi, this is, you know, I don't know what her name is. This is Teresa. And so I know I don't live around here, but I just don't remember last night us driving through a tunnel. And we just passed through a tunnel, and I'm a little bit worried that maybe we're not going. I don't know where we are. And I'm like, oh my God.
Let me talk to the driver.
Yeah. Let me talk to the driver. Hand the phone to the driver. So the driver gets on. I'm like, hi there. This is Michelle. Blah, blah, blah. What limo company are you with? Such and such. Okay. You have the wrong bridesmaids. I need you to pull over and wait on the side of the road, and I will call you back. So the other limo service that I had hired was my dad's limo service. So I knew the driver. I knew who was driving. I called him up. I was like, what are you doing? You've got the wrong, you know, where are you? And
what color are those bridesmaids wearing?
Well, they had peach dresses. Both groups of bridesmaids had these peach dresses. So I didn't feel, you know, I was like, okay. So I had Alfredo go and meet the other limo driver. I really wish I could have been there to film this. I wish the videographer would have been there.
The swap.
So they do a swap on the side of the road, two limos, you know, one group of bridesmaids getting out of one, the other getting out of the other, and then switching limos and then being coming, you know, on their way.
That is awesome.
That was awesome. And the bride had already arrived at the church. She was waiting because she was going to enter directly from the car into the ceremony. So she was kind of like, Michelle, what's going on? Like, I, you know, where am I? And I was like, after I had figured it out, I was like, okay, this is hilarious. Here's what happened. And she did laugh about it, and she was fine. And, you know, it started a few minutes late, but we were good. But I thought that was pretty interesting.
That's a good one, because transportation, in my experience, is like the thorn in wedding planners' foot.
Yeah.
Like, we hate it. Because it's a separate bus for guests and then a special car for the bride and groom. And then this shuttle has to show up at this time. And if 12 people aren't on it, it can't leave. And people change their plans. But I think the reason it's so hard for us is because it is an element that we cannot control at the time.
Yeah, no.
We're doing something else.
Unless you have paid for your consultant to have, you know, a couple of assistants, and that one of the assistants is at the place where, you know, the car is
with
picking
a clipboard.
Up. When you have all these different locations and all these variables, it's interesting.
The worst element, because there's so many times we have to call drivers on their cell phones, which you don't want them talking on their cell phone while they're driving people, but you're like, where are you? You were supposed to be here 20 minutes ago. And you still have to make a second trip. And
so I always make sure now, and ever since that happened many, many years ago, to try to get the name of the driver front, which is also very hard. They don't know the day before who that driver is going to be oftentimes. So then call in that day and say, who is my driver? I want his or her cell phone number. And then in turn, make the maid of honor or best man or guest of honor, whoever's riding in that car, your go-to person, get their cell
confirm
number,
the name.
Text each other, like, confirm this is Alfredo who picked you up. Yes, he did. We are en route to blah, blah, blah. Okay, good.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I always try to get the name too and want to make sure I'm in touch with him, but it's still...
This was such a long time ago, though, that I was lucky that the maid of honor even had a cell phone. Like, this was a really long time ago.
What else did I have? I did a wedding in Inverness. Have you been up there?
No.
So it's this beautiful, sleepy little Northern California town, and it's all around this inlet of water. I don't even know if you can call it a lake. It's like something that goes out to the ocean, but there's all these houses and small venues on it with these long docks, like a rickety, long, beautiful, picturesque dock.
Mm-hmm.
And I did a wedding there that was really gorgeous and special. And the ceremony was outside where the guests would be sitting facing the water and the bride and groom would be facing each other. So the only person that's facing me and the house is the officiant standing in front of the water.
Mm-hmm.
And every time we visited Inverness, I never saw sailboats or boaters or kids or paddle boats or anything on this water. But on the day of this wedding, the officiant has just said, and he's a friend, so he's not a professional. He's pretty much just said, like, welcome. Thank you for coming. Today we are here to celebrate. He's just begun the ceremony. And these teenagers in a little rowboat, like, row their boat right into, like, behind where the ceremony is, like 30 feet away. And they're loud, and there's two boats, and they're yelling at each other, and they can clearly see that this is a wedding going on, and all the guests are distracted and can see them, but the bride and groom can't or aren't turned around, and the officiant is not looking at all. And I'm in the very back. There's no way for me to, like, run down the dock to tell the kids to get lost.
Mm-hmm.
So I stand up on this bench And I'm waving my arms around like a maniac, like, get the fuck out. Like, I'm not saying that, but I'm like mouthing it. And I'm trying to get the kids' attention and pointing, but the officiant thinks I'm pointing to him. You know, he's like, scooches over. And then I was like, no, you. Like, and the photographer, she knows all her pictures are going to have these kids in the background. And they stayed there the whole ceremony. And I asked her later, I was like, can you Photoshop that? I mean, it's just water, right? You just have to double up the water to cover them up. She was like, I'll figure it out. But I mean, they're in every single picture.
Were they noisy or were they quiet?
They were not trying to be quiet. If they were quiet, it was because they happened to be quiet for a second. No, it was totally distracting. And the bride and groom, after a while, saw it. And I could have strangled those kids because it was like, you shitheads.
Yeah.
Was that really fun for you?
Yeah.
They get one of these.
Oh, brats.
Little, come on. Just go out of sight.
Get out. It was like
they're doing it on purpose.
That reminds me of my little brother and all my wedding photos. He is making, I swear, he looked like Bart Simpson. And he was like 8, maybe. He's making the craziest faces every posed wedding photo that we have, like in the church, and like, because he was a ring, you know, he was one of the ring bearer, and like just making these crazy faces. I'm like, you little brat, Nico. And now, of course, we look at him and we think it's hilarious. And I'm like, I always smack him upside the head whenever we see the photos, but they are funny. They are funny wedding photos, actually.
Yeah, you just have to accept that it's like a moment in time. That was your life right then.
Yeah,
that's a good way to look at it.
Can I tell a kind of a gross story?
I think I know which one you're going to tell. Yeah, please. I have a 3-year-old.
Okay. Well, this kid was a little. Okay. So I did this wedding in Santa Cruz. And the bride, again, she hired me early on for a month of coordination. And she thought her budget was X amount of money. And it turned out to be much, much less. So we had to get, I mean, I helped her out a lot. You know, I felt for her. She was very young, and it was a Mexican wedding, so there were the padrinos and madrinas, and she, you know, they typically will sponsor, like your aunt will say, we'll pay for your flowers, your aunt and uncle, right. So that's theirs, and this, that, and the other. Well, a lot of the padrinos had backed out or said, you know what, we actually only have like $300 for this, so... She was pretty upset, and she called me, and I just felt for her. So I just helped her out, and, you know, like, okay, let's do this, let's do that. So the venue even changed. It ended up being at like a how do you call it? Like a Elks Lodge kind of a thing, right? And
VFW.
Right, something like that, with like, you know, the brown folding card table chairs and way more people than should have been in that room. The mother of the groom, who owned a taco truck, actually, that was their business, ended up catering. There were,
I love
like
tacos, but...
yeah, I love tacos, but I just, her dress was, anyway, the food was good, I have to say. And then like I was the one making the announcements because the DJ was a friend who had equipment but had no idea how to do that stuff. So
welcome, sit down.
Yeah. So we, you know, we made lemonade out of lemons, right? I mean, it was, everybody was happy that, and she was happy, and there were certain things that she could embellish with and so on and so forth. So we're, okay, fast forward, we're at the wedding. Ceremony's over. We had to move like 6 tables to make room for anybody to dance. There's a keg, like the red solo cups, the whole thing, right? And but people were having fun. People were having fun. So there's this one kid, I think it was one of her younger cousins, and he was probably, I don't know, 7 or 8 years old. I don't know what this kid was sick. Okay. He must have eaten something that morning. I don't know what happened, Christy. And there was like one bathroom, one toilet. This kid comes out of the bathroom, and I happened to be upstairs by the bathroom when he came out, and he's like crying. And he's like holding his stomach and he runs out. And I go in. I was like, oh my, are you okay? He doesn't even talk to me. I open that bathroom door and I have never in my life seen anything like this. I mean, there was... God,
there's a toilet. I mean, what...
It was It was one of those, like, sick, you can't control yourself. It was everywhere.
Oh, my God.
And it was awful. It was... And I was like, oh, my...
Was there a facilities manager?
Well, there was a guy who got paid a cheap hourly rate. Yes, yes. Yeah. To turn the lights on and off and sit at the front door. And I was dude, you got to help me. And he's like, I'm not doing that. And I'm like, oh my God, like you have to help me. I can't, you know. So I don't know how I got him to do it, but he helped. Oh,
you did.
And I talked to
you rolled your sleeves up and got some bleach.
No, I didn't because I didn't.
So you
didn't
get him to help. You got him to do it.
I got him to do it. I went, but you know what I did also? I went to the kid's parents who were going to be taking him home because he was very ill. But I think the dad went in there first and like helped out also because I was like, it was bad. We had to have the bathroom shut off down for a while. There was a line of people. Can you believe? Oh,
God.
I didn't even tell the bride. I didn't even tell her. It was crazy. Sorry if that's gross for those people listening.
A lot. It's a testament.
It's a lot of shit, you know.
Wedding planners have to deal with.
Yeah. Anything else?
I had the mothers that got stuck together.
Oh yeah, what is that about?
So it was a different Filipino wedding, but the same beautiful beaded long sleeve dresses. So the kind of dress that is like a taffeta gown that has an overlay, like a top part that's beaded. And mesh that goes over it.
Yeah.
You know what I'm talking about?
Yeah.
It's typical like mother of the bride.
Right.
Black tie dress.
Right.
And they both went up at the same time during the ceremony like they were supposed to light the unity candle.
Light the two tapered candles.
Yes.
That the bride and groom would use to light the unity candle.
Exactly. Uh-huh. Tapered candles are right next to each other and they're doing this simultaneously. And their arms, their like upper arms get... The beads get hooked together.
Oh, the sleeves?
The sleeves of their arms. So they're at the the altar, and I'm at the back of the church, and everybody's watching, and after they light it, they go to, like, kind of turn around to go back to their seats, and they can't move, neither one of them.
They can't separate.
They can't separate. And my breath just caught, and I was like, oh, my God, this is... new.
Was this after they lit the taper candles? Like, were they lit and then
happened? They were lit and now they're ready to sit down.
Yeah.
And the bride and groom are going to step back up to do the candles. And I had tiny little scissors in my hip bag. So I'm thinking, I got to go down there and
J-Lo to the rescue
and cut them apart. And right when I walked into the altar, they managed to
shimmy away.
Get themselves away from each other.
Did beads fly everywhere?
Nothing. It had like threads hanging off of it.
Oh.
But I thought if they had just ripped themselves, they for sure would have had one of them, you know, with a ripped sleeve.
Yeah.
And it was actually kind of a cute moment because it was the unity candle. And here are these two moms like coming into one unity mom arm.
Unity arms.
Yeah, unity arm. Aww. It was cute. But now whenever I see, you know, all the women in those beaded dresses, I think like, okay, don't let them get too close together or try to do something next to each other because those are dangerous.
That's awesome. I would love, again, anybody out there listening, if you have any funny stories or horrible stories or WTF stories, send them our way.
Yeah, we're recording this at like 11 in the morning. If it were 9 p.m. and we'd had a couple drinks, we could probably like
go on and
dig
on.
Some more out.
I'd be dancing to Tupac. Yeah, or Snoop Dogg. Either one. Hey, listen, they're awesome, both of them. So thank you so much for listening. And Twitter handle, Christy.
At TBWP Podcast. And we'll look for tweets and respond to them and retweet. And Facebook, too. We get some comments on Facebook, the Big Wedding Planning Podcast.
Oh, and I just want to give a shout out to these two. We have two reviews on iTunes. Chicago Bride, 5 stars and a review. And someone called Real Life Bride, 5 stars. Beautiful comments. Thank you both so much. We really appreciate it. And if any of you listening could go to iTunes and rate us and review us, that's how we get the word out on iTunes that we're out there. So thank you so much. Enough. I'll do whatever. I'll sell my soul. I'll give you the shirt off of my back. No, I'm just kidding.
She's a ratings whore.
I'm a ratings whore. I'm a whore. All right. And email is thebigweddingplanningpodcast@gmail.com. Thank you so much for listening. We really appreciate you, our listeners.
Yes, thank you. Until next time.
Bye.